Hi there, it's Julia Ray, and thank you for joining Gunnar and I for episode 2 of the Making It Matter podcast series.
Hey everyone, it's Gunnar Esiason. Making It Matter is a bi-monthly podcast with your hosts, me and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Since Gunnar and I both have cystic fibrosis, we are remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by an unrestricted educational grant from Novartis to the Boomer Esiason Foundation. As always, the views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doctor. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
So thanks for that disclaimer today, Julia. Let's talk about summer tips. The end of June here, the weather's starting to get nice, starting to get real warm. So let's talk about some summer tips for people with CF. I know there's definitely a bunch of things you can talk about here. I actually wrote a blog about this a couple years ago about my specific tips for summer, but I think it's nice to get a fresh opinion here.
Yeah, I think obviously the biggest thing with the heat of the summer is staying hydrated, and especially for those of us with CF, making sure staying well hydrated and getting all that salt in, especially as you're sweating during these summer months. I know I'm constantly chugging Gatorade and getting those electrolytes back in, and I don't know, what are your tips for dehydration, Gunn?
I definitely love the Gatorade. The Gatorade is probably my all year round thing. I mean, the one negative there though is probably the amount of sugar that comes with the Gatorade. It's obviously a bit of a double edged sword there. I actually love Pedialyte. Actually, I don't really love Pedialyte. It tastes awful, but since I have a feeding tube, I just pour it right down the tube. I add a little extra like sea salt to it, and it just goes right down. I feel great after doing it. I would recommend it. I don't know how it tastes. I can't say it tastes very good. Probably tastes awful. But since babies love it, I don't know. Maybe it does taste good. that's my go-to, because it has electrolytes. It has salt in it already, which is what electrolytes are. The Pedialyte is really my go-to in the summer. And from what I understand, people love using it even after they are babies. Have you ever tried it?
I have, yeah, especially during like an intense workout, which is made even more intense with the summer heat. So I have turned to that, yeah.
Yeah, a few years ago, I had some pretty bad problems with dehydration, like it was 2 or 3 years ago now. I actually found myself in the hospital just totally dehydrated. It was not fun. And ever since then, I've sort of tried to get out in front of the dehydration issue. And the Pedialyte has definitely been and Gatorade. I would be remiss if I didn't say that I drink a lot of Gatorade. But yeah, that's really what I do to combat dehydration, or really anything with electrolytes in it. Smart water is great. It's, you know, water's the essence of life. but beyond that though, my biggest problem though, beyond the dehydration, is really sun exposure. I take oral antibiotics every day, so I feel like I have pretty some pretty terrible sun experiences. When I was younger, I used to actually have like cases of sun poisoning, which were really, really painful. Yeah. So I have to use like 75 SPF sunscreen when I go out. It's like, I just feel like I just cover myself in that stuff. Just absolutely cover myself.
I'm in the same boat. I am constantly worried about that. I had a really bad sunburn once when I was in Florida, and from antibiotics, and that from then on I just kind of have become afraid of the sun. But that means we'll have less wrinkles,
so. That is what that means. That means we'll also have greater risk of skin cancer. I think the sun is there's definitely a lot of positives. The vitamin D that comes from it, and vitamin D is shown to improve lung health, which is a nice little thing that comes along with the sun. Also having a nice little tan is something that is obviously
appealing.
Yes, exactly. It's very appealing. But the negatives that come from it are pretty significant. So I try to watch that as best I can. I you know, I'm definitely not hesitant to grab the zinc and put that where I feel like I have a burn coming on. The worst is when I was playing football in high school, I was on some pretty significant antibiotics during training camp one season, and my entire face like peeled off. It was like I looked like the Joker from Batman. It was pretty bad. Or I guess Two-Face from Batman.
Two-Face.
It's the same Batman episode. it was pretty ugly.
Yeah, really I've had those experiences. It's not fun. It's not fun. So you gotta lather up.
Yes, exactly. Especially, I think that came on when I was actually on IVs over the summer, which also, by the way, is like the worst thing. You have 2-3 weeks of just kind of dealing with it. You gotta stay out of the sun, and you really gotta watch your sweat when you're dealing with IVs, because otherwise the bandage gets pretty rough. But the way I've managed to deal with that actually is whenever I get IVs, I make sure I have them stitched in. Do you get yours stitched in or?
Yes.
You did? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I make sure. Yeah. When I was in first grade, actually, the first time I ever had a PICC line, I was in first grade. And it was, I've had them stitched in ever since then because of this. And the reason was because I was being a normal first grader and the PICC line actually slid right out.
Yeah.
It just like slid right out of my arm. It's the grossest thing ever.
Same problem, first grade. Wow. Yep. And cool. I always get them stitched in now. It's just so much easier.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. As if getting stitched in is a nice thing. Why did it slide out? What happened?
Same thing, just being like a rambunctious, antsy, restless 6-year-old.
Yeah.
And I was over it. At that point, too, all of my IVs had like my arm blue and like my veins blue. So it was just like I was done. I was so over it.
Oh, gross. Yeah. I had one of those like razor scooters. Remember those things? And I tried to like be really cool and like do like a little bunny hop or something, and I totally fell. And next thing you know, I'm like sitting on the ground, and like my PICC line is just like lying right next to me. My mom came running out, and I thought she was gonna have a heart attack. It was pretty devastating. It was definitely a very terrible experience for a 6-year-old.
I would say so.
Yeah. So that was my experience with IVs over the summer when I was younger. Now I've obviously gotten better with it. I usually wrap it with a sock, and then if I know I'm going to be outside doing something, I'm pretty stubborn with my IVs. I have the doctor put them in situations where I can play golf or something like that, you know, something like a low stress activity. That way I can still live my life as best I can. So, you know, I'll wrap it with like an ACE bandage or something like that, and I think that helps.
Yeah, I get the colored ACE bandages so I can match my outfit.
That's very girly of you. I definitely appreciate that.
Unashamed.
Yeah, but so, yeah, go ahead.
I also think, you know, when you're not on IVs, the salt water is kind of the best natural therapy that there is.
Yeah, I definitely think it's something we take for granted living on the East Coast. You're down. Are you in Philadelphia for the summer?
Yeah. Well, we go down to New Jersey, Ocean City, New Jersey for the summer. So.
Cool. Yeah. So we definitely take for granted. I think being on the East Coast by the Atlantic Ocean, but I've definitely heard that. Yeah. I think people with CF definitely feel a lot better around the salt air. And that's actually how they invented hypertonic saline. They were the surfers in Australia.
Yeah. Exactly.
What a life! I can't surf. That would be. I'm actually kind of scared of the ocean. Like I have a big fear of Jaws and just like cold water in general. But I think being near the ocean helps me.
Thank you. You've now induced that fear in me.
Oh my God. I cannot stand. I'm like, every time if I can't see the bottom, it's like a big disaster for me. Like, you know, I can't see the bottom. Who knows what's on there? There could be fish.
You can't see the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean if you go in like 1 foot.
I know. That's why I'm terrified to go in the ocean. It's absolutely terrified. There could be jellyfish. There could be sea monsters. There could be crocodiles.
So many sea monsters I've come across.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Jurassic World? Do you see that giant alligator shark dinosaur thing?
Yeah, I mean, they exist. Yeah,
who knows? They're finding new fish every day in the ocean. Just ask the scientists. They'll tell you. Dinosaurs may still exist. Yeah, but seriously, I think the salt air definitely does do a benefit. I try to spend as much time, really, not necessarily on the beach, but like, you know, within earshot of the beach, or just basically in a situated beach town where there is salt air in the air. I definitely notice that. Yeah. I cough more when I'm out there, and it definitely helps break the humidity. Humidity is like my biggest enemy in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a very good surfer, but I do have a board, and it also just gets me out there for hours on end, trying to catch a wave. Let's say that
it's also a good exercise. Great core exercise.
Yes, it is. It is. Kill many birds with one stone.
I know that from watching Blue Crush. And that's my only reason for knowing.
And their abs are goals, right?
Yes, exactly. It's a great movie from, like, what was it, late 90s? That's like, that right there is about as much surfing knowledge as I have. And that's why I know it's great.
Well, that's a good movie. So, hey, we're recommending Blue Crush for all of you out there.
Who haven't seen it. If you haven't seen it and missed out on a major portion of our childhoods, that's something that we definitely recommend. All right, so we're coming towards the end here, and like we always like to do, we always have a Making It Matter segment where someone with CF is really going above and beyond. And today I want to feature a fellow Boston College Eagle, Eamon Kelly. This past month, last May, he completed a 5K race 6 months to the day after receiving a double lung transplant. For someone with CF, that is beyond impressive to complete a 5K race. Julia will tell you she just actually ran a half marathon. But for someone who just received an operation of that magnitude, it's almost unfathomable. I can point to Jerry Cahill. He did something similar after he received his double lung transplant. So congrats to Eamon, who is currently pursuing his master's in educational leadership at BC. My man's going for a double eagle. I love it. You can read more about his story in this episode's blog write-up, and you can find the link to the New York Post article if you haven't read it. You haven't already read it.
Yeah, awesome, Eamon. That's incredible. I mean, God, talk about... I don't even know. I would never even be able to fathom that, even the half marathon right after a double lung transplant. Remarkable.
Absolutely. So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us. And remember, if you want to see us blog about something specific, you can always send us an email at gunnersblog@assiasson.org or send us a message on Facebook. This is Gunnar Assiasson for Julia Ray signing off.